Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpbc.org.
Genesis chapter 2. I'll read a moment to get to the text, beginning in verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And here we begin the text, Lord willing. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. The first man God made in creation, and as I said at the funeral yesterday, the best he saved for last, the woman made from his body, Adam's, that God created, the family unit, the church, everything else entailed in the scripture, God placed him in the garden. God made him, God created him, God placed him. This makes me think of Colossians 1, about verse 13, where he says that the Lord has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. God put man in a land called Eden. I do not believe that it was God didn't just set him in the world. God set him in a place in the world. Thought we have a place in the world today, which is the Church of the Living God. God didn't just set him there, he set him in Eden. The word Eden means pleasure. It's called paradise by the Jews. God set him not only in Eden, but God planted a garden in Eden. This was a perfect place of pleasure. If we read the scripture, going down, looking at Eden, God put him there. Adam had nothing to do with being created. Adam had nothing to do with being in the garden or in Eden. And in Eden, we find the Lord God. Out of the ground, the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life, also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And this land is surrounded by rivers, and a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. Now notice, a river went out of Eden to water the garden. The river came from Eden, this land of pleasure, this paradise. And it watered the Garden of Eden. We'll show you, if the Lord brings me that far today, the Spirit of God and the Kingdom of God. But we see the river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. He gives us the name of these, Pison. And we see Gihon. And we see Hiddekel. And we see the Euphrates. Now, Pison is the Tigris. Today, we only see two of these rivers. We see Euphrates and we see the Tigris. Men try to find the place of Eden. Men try to see it. They want to know where it was at. They want to talk about it. They want to go over there and stand as if they're on holy ground. Let me tell you, child of God, the holy ground is where you're sitting right now. This is the land of Israel. This is the holy ground of God. It doesn't matter where Eden was at. It doesn't matter where Noah's Ark was at. God told us it was in the mountains of Ararat.
All sorts of TV shows and people, theologians, geologists, and everybody else wanting to go find the Ark of the Covenant. See those two cherubims set upon the sea. God tells us, you shall not say the Ark of the Lord, the Ark of the Lord, the Ark of the Lord. Neither shall that come into mind anymore. Because God took it away. Because Christ completed the work. The Ark was nothing but a type of Christ. We don't need that. Right. We don't need to see it. We don't need our hands on it. We cannot. For God said it will not even come into your mind. The same thing with Eden. It was a place where God set man. And as we plainly see with Adam, that God drove man from the garden. We don't have it. We don't have any knowledge of it. Well, the only knowledge we have is what little bit Scripture teaches us, that we might see the fullness of Christ, that when God created him by the living Word, which is Christ, and God placed him in a place in the world, not just in a place, but in Eden, a place of pleasure, not just in a place of pleasure, but in the very garden of God. And in that garden, it was perfect. It was perfect. It was pleasure. It was a paradise. Let's think about Eden. We find, first of all, that there were trees of every kind. Not just trees for food, for God provided food. God provided everything we needed. Peter tells us in 1 Peter, that, or 2 Peter chapter 1, one of those two, that God hath provided everything we need pertaining unto life and godliness. God provides for His people. He'll not leave us without. But God put him there in this garden in Eden. And it's a garden because it's supposed to grow. Things are to grow there. He was put there to dress it and to keep it. We might view to dress it as make it look pretty. And I'll go along with that. But the word dress it means to work. To work it. To work it. To work it. Are we working today in this kingdom? But he says to dress it. To work it. To dress it and keep it. Why would he keep it? Because it was given unto him. It was given unto Adam and Eve and all of those that would come after him. A place God prepared. A place God ordained. Called Eden, a perfect paradise. I've heard it called a euphoria. I don't go for that because euphoria is just a sense of all is well. It wasn't just a sense because everything was good and upright. It was good and it was very good. And that's what God provided to man. And that's where God placed man. There was the trees that were good for food. For God provided everything he had to eat. There was no death. They didn't have to kill animals to eat. You want to find the first death? Go to the time in Genesis 10, where 9 rather, where Noah came off the ark. And he told them, the fear of you should be on every beast, and there'll be meat for you. They started having to kill things to eat them then. Why? Because sin had entered the world. This place was perfect. The herb of the trees was for food. And not only that, not only were they for food, they were pleasant to look at. They were beautiful. God didn't set them in a desert. God set them in a place where they had the great splendor of God's creation to see daily, to view. Now we see that by faith today in Christ, for He is the beginning of the wisdom of God. He's the beginning of the Word of God. He is the beginning of all things. For God, He is the living Word which God spake and created all things. The trees were there. It didn't rain. It wasn't bad weather. God caused a mist to come up from the ground. People, theologians, corrupted minds with man's thinking. Well, that must have been fog. The Bible doesn't say it was a fog. The Bible says the Lord caused the earth to water the ground. And that's what the Lord did. Didn't say it was fog. He said it brought forth a dew that watered the ground. There went up a mist from the earth that watered the whole face of the ground. Fog comes down. Do you catch that? Dew comes down, rather. This is not dew. This is the water that God didn't cause to come down. He caused it to come up from the earth and water the ground. Everything was perfect. Everything was pleasure. Everything was good and upright and very good. Everything God prepared for the man. People say, we want to go back to Eden. We don't need Eden. We've got something better. We find therein was the tree of life. We find therein was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I don't have to go through that again. You know, the tree of life gives life. I do not believe that Adam ever ate of that tree, because when God drove him out after he had fallen into sin, and sin and death entered the world by one man, and all this was taken away, we were driven away from it. Didn't say it's not there. Yeah, in fact, the tree of life is there. It said God drove him from the garden and set cherubims to protect the way to the tree of life. lest Adam should take forth of the tree of life and live forever in the sin-cursed condition which he was in. I'm glad God provided a way. All this beauty that God had, men and animals walking together, Adam, Eve, and everything God created there together, perfect uprightness, perfect goodness, a place that God gave unto the man and the woman whom he created. God told him, the day thou eatest of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely die. Theologians try to make things out of this. I'm going to stay with the Bible. Adam disobeyed God. There was a tree. And when he disobeyed and ate of that tree, his eyes were opened. He saw that he was naked. Sin entered the world through Adam's rebellion and death by sin. There was a tree of life. Had he taken of that tree of life, there was eternal life. And I believe Scripture testifies of that, that it would have given life. And I thank God he never did. Or we'd be in that condition forever.
Yes.
But we see Eden, we see the land that God created and gave, and we see the beauty of it. I'll give you a little hint before I go any further. Isaiah 51, the Lord begins talking to those that follow after righteousness. He's prophesying of the coming kingdom of those that seek the Lord. And he says, "For the Lord shall comfort Zion," verse 3, "he will comfort all her waste places." Why was it waste? Adam was driven from the garden. He was no longer in that garden. He was no longer in Eden. He was no longer in paradise. What God provided, he didn't have access to anymore. Instead of God giving it and providing, Adam had to work for it by the sweat of his brow. Eve would bring forth children in sorrow and pain. All that was taken away because of the sin of Adam. All your waste places, he's going to comfort them. This is not speaking of the law. This is speaking of grace in the church we have today. And he will make her wilderness like Eden. Like Eden. That was a place, a physical place. God set Adam in. Whoa, so many thoughts. Lord, help me. God gave Abraham, a bit off text, but it'll go with it. God gave Abraham the land of Canaan. He drove out the seed of Canaan, the seed of Ham, who looked upon his father's wife and saw her nakedness. He molested her. He was cursed. God drove out the inhabitants of Canaan, gave that land to his people. My point is, just like Eden, that was a land that God gave to his people. We see in Canaan a kingdom, the establishment of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Israel, its physical condition. And let me stay with the text. It had borders around it. This was a place, a kingdom, back to Adam, back to the church, a place where God set Adam. Canaan was a place where God would drive out the inhabitants. What that teaches us is the light of God, Jesus Christ, driving out the darkness of our heart and soul, our very enemy, ourself, the flesh, and Satan. But my point to you is that it was waste. And God would make it like Eden. That doesn't mean that our life is full of trees and we're going to dwell in a land where we can walk through picking up trees and walking with lions and tigers and bears like they did on the Wizard of Oz. He's talking about the paradise. He's talking about the pleasures that would be in the Eden of God, in the Israel of God, in the kingdom of God, in the church of the living God, in the church of Jesus Christ. It'd be like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving in the voice of melody. Let's go to Ezekiel 47. We find as Ezekiel, you go back to chapter 40 and you'll find a man with a line in his hand. This man is a type of Christ. Yea, in fact, I believe he is showing him Christ himself by revelation. Christ is measuring the temple. He is showing Ezekiel the New Testament temple, which would be built in Christ in the holy city of Jerusalem, which would be built in Christ. When you read this, sometime sitting at home, put it together with Revelation 21 and 22, and Lord willing, I'll get to 22 in a minute. But he's measuring the temple. Afterward, he, Christ, the angel, the man with the line in his hand, brought me again to the door of the house, and the waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. There it's the land of Eden. Here it's a house. It's the kingdom of God. You are the house of God. You are His building. The kingdom of God is within you. It is God Himself within you. The waters came out from under the threshold of the house. Listen. You ever seen those old cartoons? Bugs Bunny, Tom and Jerry. Somebody turned the water on and have the door shut. And the whole place would be full of water. And it'd be coming loose from underneath. And when they'd open the door, there'd be so much water in there, it'd burst out. Can you see the Spirit of God in such great quantity as God opens the windows of heaven and pours blessing upon us in this kingdom of God today, where you have pleasure, where you have peace and fellowship and worship in the kingdom of God? He saw them coming from the east. He brought me out of the way of the gate northward and looked at the waters. I'm going very fast here. Waters ran out on the right side. When the man that had the line in his hand went forth, he measured 1,000 cubits and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. There's water. There's showing us the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God which came into the world was manifested unto us by Jesus Christ, that God sent it into the world that all of His children will be born of the Spirit. This will be manifested unto us and the preaching of the gospel and the kingdom of the gospel which we have today. And He goes on a little further and says, He brought me enough more, and they were to the ankles, then they were to the loins. It's getting a little deeper. Do you study and pray in this kingdom that we have today? Do you come up and learn more, and God reveals more, and God gives more? God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He is our exceeding great reward. The more we study, the more we pray, the more we worship, the more we assemble together, the deeper things of God revealed unto us. The water gets a little deeper. The Spirit gets a little deeper. We learn more. We have more peace through all things. We mature as Christians. We mature as children of God. Remember, He told Adam that you had to work. Now we've got to work. We're sinners. We're not good and upright. We don't see God face to face as Adam did. We see God by faith in Christ who reveals Him to us. The water's got a little deeper. Okay, let's look at that in another way. As we walk through the trials and tribulations of life in this world, and we see the kingdom of God, and we see God's people, and we see our brethren and our family members that are in the church, and we suffer in this world, the more we lean on God, the more we turn to God, the more we love God, the more we rejoice in God, the more the Spirit is with us. We get deeper in God's grace, if you'll have that, in our finite mind. We know more of God. We have more peace. We have more comfort. And then He comes to a place they were, and I'm skipping over a lot of this. You go back and read it. Place where the waters were so deep and wide that they could not be passed over. Couldn't walk across it. Couldn't get across it. It was so deep. These are the deep things of God that are revealed in the Scripture. Brethren, think about this. The deep things of God that are revealed in Scripture, that even though they're given to us by the Holy Spirit while we live in this body of flesh, we cannot fully comprehend or understand. The things that Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, mentioned this yesterday, things which were not lawful to be uttered. The things that even though we're children of God and given an unction and understanding of His Word, that we cannot comprehend because we're flesh and God's a spirit and God is eternal and God is so far above us as the stars are above the skies, the earth as the heavens are above the earth. But He gives us a little bit of that understanding and the peace that comes with it. Now, this is referring back to Eden. That's why I went to the 47th chapter of Ezekiel. Ezekiel, Genesis, you see the river that came forth, portraying the water which made that physical land grow and sustain the trees. In the kingdom of God, we see the Spirit of God, the river of God. which causes the land of God, the land of Israel, Mount Zion, the kingdom of God, the church of Jesus Christ, each and every one, it causes them to grow. It causes them to be in existence. They're creations of God, new creatures created in Christ Jesus. And the Spirit of God, which keeps us and causes us to grow. He said, when he turned to the brink of the river in verse 7, there were very many trees on the one side and on the other. This refers right back to Genesis. The trees of God, the planting of God. You want to see verse 12 of Ezekiel 47, going very quickly, by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaves shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary. And the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. True Christian. True Christianity. True worship in spirit and truth, given by God who took us and translated us, just as he took Adam and placed him when he created him in the garden, that God took us from the nature of fallen Adam and brought us to the nature of Jesus Christ and translated us in regeneration, translated us in quickening life, and placed us here in the kingdom of God. And if you think this is talking, not talking about the church, let's catch a little bit of these that I just left out. He says these waters will go down into the desert and go into the sea. That's the Dead Sea. I'll prove that in a moment. Which being brought forth into the sea, the water shall be healed. The sea was dead. The Spirit of God comes to it, and there is life. These waters issued out toward these country, go down in the desert, go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the water shall be healed. God is the only giver of life. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, where the Spirit of God is, there is life, shall live. There shall be a very great multitude of fish. I told you this was proof. It's talking about the church today. Do you remember the Lord telling Peter, James, and John, I will make you fishers of men, fish of all multitudes, the Gentile church shall come hither, and they shall be healed. God saved them from their sin. God ordained them to walk in his way. And then he goes on in verse 10 and says that there's come to pass that the fisher shall stand upon it from Engedi even unto Eglaim. One is on one side of the Dead Sea, the other is on the other side of the Dead Sea. The sea is the Dead Sea. The sea was dead. It had no life in it, just as we were, being Gentiles in the flesh. But the Spirit of God gave it life. That's what Ezekiel is seeing in this vision that Christ is showing him. The Spirit of God in this world among his people. Let's go to Revelation 22 for a closing place in a moment. Let me back up. Let me show you what he's talking about. John said in chapter 21, I'm on two lines of thought in this. You hear the other one quite often. I'm going to tell you what I think about it. And I have told you before. John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Jerusalem is the old heaven and the new earth, the old city Jerusalem, the old kingdom of heaven, the old land of God. It's gone away. We're living in the new Jerusalem. As Paul said in Galatians, there is a Jerusalem which is above, which is free. There is a new heaven and a new earth in 2 Peter chapter 3. That is the land of heaven where we will be housed in immortal glory with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This text is speaking of the kingdom of God in the world, I believe, and I'll tell you why in just a moment. So a new heaven and a new earth. First heaven, first earth were passed away and there was no more sea. John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. Galatians, New Jerusalem. Coming down from God out of heaven. Use this text yesterday. We shall meet the Lord in the air. We will be taken up, translated if you please, into the holy heaven with God above, and he'll meet us, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. This is coming down. I do believe this is a picture of the Spirit of God that God manifested comes down to men. We're prepared as a bride adorned for heaven. He says, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. That's your body is the temple of the living God. He will dwell with them. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God is within you. And they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There's not going to be tears in heaven and immortal glory to be wiping away. There shall be no more death. Well, people die every day. Yes, they do. But what did Jesus say? He that believeth in me shall never die. When a child of God dies, the body sleeps. The spirit goes to God immediately. There's no more death to a child of God. There will be no sorrow nor crying because God gives us peace. Now, let me prove to you why I believe this is speaking of today. Let me find it. There are gates. Carry me away in the spirit, verse 10, and to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and talks about her preciousness. In verse 12, it says it had a great wall. This is a wall around the city. And it had 12 gates, 12 tribes. And at the gates, 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Let me go ahead and finish, and I'll put this together. And then we find the gates, three on each side, and the wall of the city had 12 gates with the names of the children of Israel, the elect of God. The wall of the city, the wall, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Heaven and immortal glory is not built on the apostles of the Lamb. We went through Ephesians. We're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. This is talking about the gospel kingdom in the world. Heaven and immortal glory is not built by preaching. It's on the Lamb of God who died and shed His blood for us. Now, you see the text. We'll get back into that sometime maybe. Let's come to verse chapter 22. Talking about Eden, talking about the Spirit of God, talking about the living water. And He showed me a pure river of water of life. Some say this is the love of God. I'll have that. Some say this is the Spirit of God. I'll have that because they're both actually about one. And He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, without corruption, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. I've heard people say this is the preaching of the gospel. I don't buy that because we change the gospel. We make mistakes. We are finite dust. This is speaking of the pure grace of God and His love and His mercy and His Spirit to His children. A pure river of water of life that causes to grow and sustain life, spiritual life, not physical, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, Christ is within you. You are in the city of God. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, all around it, because Christ is in the midst, all around the grace of God. Remember what He said in Ezekiel 47, everywhere the water goes, there is life. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life. Let's go back to Ezekiel 47. You see there the tree of life. You do not see there the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's not necessary because man has fallen and God by His Spirit reveals unto us our sin and His righteousness. You do not see the curse because Satan is not in this kingdom. It has walls. The hedge of Christ around us. It has a gate which the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Because Christ, again the song we sang, the angel singular of the Lord encampeth round them that fear Him. Christ is around you. Christ is in you. Christ protects you. Christ gives you life. Clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God, the Lamb in the midst of the street of it, the city, New Jerusalem. On either side of the river, there was a tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits. 12 uses completion. 12 tribes. That is teaching us of every son of Jacob in the Old Testament. That's teaching us of all the 12 apostles of the Lamb in the New Testament. That's teaching us of the completion of every single child of God the Father gave to the Son. 12 manner of fruit. Remember Eden? Good to the taste. And yielded her fruit every month. It didn't go dormant in the winter. It didn't produce and grow in the spring and grow in the summer and come the fall, be harvested and lie dormant in the winter. It provides her fruit every month. Mm-hmm. The kingdom of God is here. Christ is in His kingdom. God will never leave us nor forsake us. God gives us everything we need, just like Adam. One big difference in this kingdom and Eden, God drove Adam from Eden. You cannot be driven from the kingdom of God, which is within you. Oh, you can lose your home in the church as far as the assembly. But you cannot be driven from the kingdom of God. You cannot be unborn. That's foolishness. A man cannot enter into his mother's womb and go back into her seed, the seed of his father, and not exist anymore. That cannot happen. You cannot be unborn of the Spirit of God. Right. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Well, notice the nations already have life. Or they wouldn't need healing. He said resurrection. He didn't say resurrection. He said healing. Only the living come into the church of God. Let me prove this to you and I'll sit down. And there shall be no more curse but the throne of God. There's no curse because Satan is not there. We can't be driven from it. But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. God sits upon the throne in your heart with Christ at His right side. And His servant shall serve Him. And they shall see His face. When do we see His face? By faith. And His name shall be in their foreheads. He writes His law upon your inward parts, your mind, your heart, your soul, and being all focused on God as we battle this body of flesh. There shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Christ is the light, John chapter 1, that lights the life of men. That is Christ in us, leading us and teaching us. They shall reign forever and ever. What do we reign over? We're not going to reign in heaven. Christ is the Lord of lords and King of kings. We reign in this world over sin and death by the grace of God and the Spirit of God which is within us. And He said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angel to show unto His servants the things which must shortly be done. That's past, before this text. Behold, I come quickly. The Lord comes to us each day. But this is regarding His coming in that day and time to those people, because the church was going to be established. To make the church surely established, the old would be taken away, and it was destroyed in 70 AD and a little after. But He said, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the saying of the prophecy of this book. And John fell at His feet to worship Him. Don't you worship an angel. Don't you worship a preacher. Don't you worship a messenger. You worship Christ. You want further proof that this is speaking of the kingdom and the world? Look at verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. There's no unjust in heaven. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And what God sanctified, made holy, cannot be lost. He said, I come quickly, my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And then what does He say? Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life. Christ, from Eden to now. The tree of life here in this garden of God where we dwell. Yes, we have something better. And may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and whoremongers. There's no dogs and whoremongers in heaven in immortal glory. That's got to be in this world. But now you catch this. The Spirit of God and the bride, the church, and let him that hears God's word say, come. We ought to be telling people to come. We ought to be telling people we've got a better way.
Yeah.
We've got a better place. We've got a better thing. Come. Come go with me to the house of God.